Positive Talk, where Shane ends and nothing is off limits. Brought to you by Advocating for Sex Positive Education and Consent Culture, EmpoweredHearts.com, and GTFOradio.ca. I'm your host, Angel, queer femby, sexuality educator, and sex coach.
Hey everybody, it is me, Angel, with Sex Talk, and with me is...
Veronica. Hi everybody.
But it has been a long summer. I am so excited to be back. Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah? It's like, yay, we're going to talk about sex every week. It's one of my favorite topics, even if it's not my very favorite thing to do right now. Which has more to do with menopause. Brought to you by who fuck knows. Serves no fucking purpose to feel this way, but here we are. Here we are.
I mean, it probably did serve a purpose at one point, but you know.
Oh yes, because prior to, you know, us being more civilized, I'm sure that people with ovaries were just running around screaming for sex in their 50s. When their lifespan was only 35, but yeah, don't get me started. So today we're actually going to talk about the orgasm gap.
Yeah.
Not menopause. The orgasm gap. And kind of why it exists, aside from the lots of people not knowing where the clitoris is or why it's an important part of the anatomy, and what you can do to make sure your relationship doesn't have an orgasm gap. And, yeah, so if anybody's listening and has questions or comments that you want to make throughout, you can text us at 1-587-340-5899. All your usual texting charges will apply. I have no control over that. But yeah, that orgasm gap. So when you think about your life, has there been an orgasm gap at any point in time in your life?
Always.
In your relationships? Always.
Like, yes. I am camped at the Grand Canyon, okay?
So, if somebody was to say to you, like, what is this orgasm gap?
What would I say?
Yeah.
So, to me, the orgasm gap sort of means who gets pleasure when sex happens. And a lot of times, at least in our very Western culture, the pleasure belongs to the person with the penis.
In heterosexual relationships.
In heterosexual relationships. And a lot of times, because of lots of different reasons, that doesn't extend to your partner. It doesn't matter as much, apparently. And it's not talked about in the media. I mean,
See, and I want to say it matters. It matters a lot. Or there wouldn't be something called faking your orgasm.
That's true, but that's just giving up.
What do you mean?
Like, when you fake an orgasm, right, you're giving up your pleasure for the other person.
Sometimes when you're faking your orgasm, you are encouraging them to stop without hurting their little feelings so that you don't have to go and get surgery on your vajayjay.
I guess, but I just still equate it down to pleasure, right? It's the person who's getting pleasure. And that extends to not hurting their feelings.
Okay.
And making them feel good about the job that they've done.
Yeah, so if any of my exes are listening, you might want to tune out right about now, because, man. I totally get that. Mm-hmm. And even in my relationship with a woman, mm-hmm. I still ended up with this orgasm gap, mm-hmm. because she was just one of those people who'd rather be adored than do the adoring. Mm-hmm. That was polite. Right?
Yeah.
And there's lots of people like that. Like, hell, I think you could sign me up for that once in a while. But she just wasn't much into reciprocating. And
that's where we had it.
When she did try, it wasn't very...
enthusiastic?
Well, it wasn't very pleasant. Like, it wasn't... there were some problems there, you know? Like, I don't think she was comfortable interacting with a vulva. And so... she wasn't very good at it either.
Right.
Right? Like, if you're not comfortable, you're not going to explore.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. It's awful, but it's fair. I get it. Not the vulva thing, but other parts.
There's parts you don't want to explore.
Not my favorite.
What parts?
Just a specific part that's only available on certain people. I don't particularly like penises.
Gotcha. You don't find them fun to play with?
See, sometimes.
I'm a lot sluttier than you because I really like playing with people's genitals. I don't care what their genitals are. You give me something that causes pleasure and say, can you make me happy? I'm like, oh, let me see. Right?
Yeah. I think it's just, I'm not like, I'm pretty fucking demisexual. Yeah. You know, so when I think about when I separate body parts from people and I'm just objectively looking at body parts, I don't particularly like penises. If it's attached to someone that I love and I care about, then I love and care about bringing them pleasure.
Mm, I see the distinction here. Yeah. Okay. I get that. So in your experience, what do you think, if you had to narrow it down to reasons why mm-hmm. there was an orgasm gap in your own relationships, why was there?
I mean, really, the one reason is lack of communication, at least on my end, because I have had most of my partners have been very willing to please me. Like, they want that to happen. They just don't know how to do it.
Necessarily. And at that time, you think back to the first time we realized this was going on. Did you know how? Did you have enough knowledge to be able to communicate it?
I had enough knowledge to communicate what I felt was pleasurable, but I didn't have enough knowledge to communicate with the person I was with what they could do to bring me pleasure.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. That is really fair. Okay, so number one thing was lack of communication. And in my sex coaching, I think this comes up a lot mm-hmm. with couples and throuples, regardless of whether they're heterosexual relationships or mm-hmm. or queer relationships, is that typically the person who has a clitoris mm-hmm. is hesitant or unwilling or unable mm-hmm. to be like, hey, this is what I like.
Yeah.
And then a couple of occasions where the person is communicating that really well, like, no, actually, harder here, softer there, do it like this. There's some, how can I put this nicely? There tends to be an ego problem where someone doesn't like, typically the person with the penis, who really struggles with their self-esteem if they're told they're not doing it in a pleasurable way, which I think is really sad.
Yeah.
Because I know if we were to line up 100 people with clitorises and put them all in the exact same position and use the exact same toys and the exact same lube, that everybody would want you to do something slightly different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like I've watched a lot, unfortunately, or unfortunately, I don't know, I've watched a lot of people masturbate and they all do it differently. Mm-hmm. And I think that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Right? Well, yeah. Unless they've only learned from porn. If they've never tried things on their own that they haven't seen in porn, they'll do it the same way. That really fast.
Oh, yeah.
Rubby thing where they just make their fingers stiff and they rub it like they're trying to sand the wrinkles out of it. Right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes it's nice for a quickie, you know?
Yeah. It can be really nice when you're finding it hard to get over the crust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just build that 3 or 4 times and then just rub it out, right?
Yeah.
But typically it's not the go-to if you're looking for multiples or quality orgasms.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Cool. Yeah, so for anyone who's listening, that means that if you are not receiving the same amount of pleasure during sex as your partner, you need to start by communicating that.
Yeah.
How would you suggest somebody goes about that? Like, pretend we're having sex and you're just not getting enough orgasms.
Oh, see, I wouldn't start with that situation. Like, if I had already had sex with someone and knew that I wasn't receiving enough pleasure and it wasn't equal,
mm-hmm.
then I would talk to them before I started having sex with them.
how would you know that it wasn't equal if you haven't had sex with them?
If I had already had sex with them.
Oh, okay. So you would talk about when you're not in bed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, even, like, right before or whatever, but just not in the throes of passion. Because, you know, their throes of passion, not mine. because, you know, your brain turns off and you're not necessarily thinking clearly and you've got all of these hormones rushing through your body, right? So
yeah.
They might not receive it the way you intend it if you're in the middle of something like that.
Absolutely. I can see that being a little hurt feelings, mm-hmm. too. Because you're, like, in the throes, you want to think they're in the throes, and then there you are.
Yeah.
Finding out the hard way that they're not into it the way you thought they were.
But if you were to be having sex with someone for the first time and they're not satisfactory, then my advice, what I would do, is address it as soon as possible. Like, if you're not feeling it and it's not bringing you pleasure, that kind of pleasure, instead of waiting to see if it gets better, just address it then.
Like, I mean, there's no chemistry here, sort of thing.
Or just, like, you know, like, I'm really excited. I'm still having a good time, but I'm just not getting there. Can we try this or do this, right? Like, and take your pleasure into your own hands, right? Because that's not true. But, like, in general,
no one owes you pleasure.
No one owes you pleasure, and no one knows what is going to make you feel good unless you tell them, because they're not in your head.
I love your brain. Well, folks, there you have it. Communication, even if it's hard, can be your first step. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation about the orgasm gap, some of the problems that come up, mm-hmm. and what to do if you communicate and that is not enough, because I know that's going to be a question that somebody will send. This is Sex Talk, and we'll be back right after this fun set of tunes. Welcome back to Sex Talk. We are talking today about the orgasm gap, and in case you're curious what that might look like, it looks like people with clitorises getting maybe a hundredth of the sexual pleasure that people with penises get. Mm-hmm. As Veronica noted, communication, particularly on behalf of the person with a clitoris. If it's the other way around, I'd say the same thing. But particularly people with clitorises have not been socialized
mm-hmm.
to talk about what they need. We're seeing some big shifts with the younger crowd, so that's cool. And I think part of that problem is that sex ed doesn't actually talk about the function of the clitoris.
No.
Here it is, but we're not going to talk about what it is, because that would be talking about good things about sex, and we don't want to do that. So, but we do talk about ejaculation, because you need that to happen in order to create children.
Right.
So, like, I think that's part of the problem, is it's like this big mysterious thing. And the jokes that, you know, men can't find the clitoris.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never actually seen anybody struggle to find the clitoris. Have you had a partner who couldn't find it?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. I just wanted to know how trope that was. But then I think I give some pretty big reactions. So it's pretty obvious when you're in a good place.
In the right spot.
And yeah. I don't like direct stimulation. I like beside stimulation, so I tend to move their hand anyways. It's like, yeah, that's the button. Don't touch that. Unless you want to be done right now.
Yeah.
And then I'll just be like, yep, that's sore. I'm leaving. Communication. You have to tell your partner. People are not mind readers, and it mm-hmm. doesn't matter how much skill you have in bed. Every person enjoys different types of techniques or pressure or different amounts of lube or different positions or whatever. And you're not going to know that unless it's communicated. So it's not actually a smack to your skill.
No.
And if you can't give your partner an orgasm, they need to communicate to you or show you. Communicate with words or actions what they need. However, something I do know is that in a lot of relationships, particularly like with coaching, I get a lot of couples that come in and, you know, it always starts with, you know, like, what brought you in? Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, she doesn't want to have sex with me anymore. Mm. Right? I always want sex, and she always says no. And I'm like, so, like, what have you tried?
Yeah.
And the first thing they've tried is pointing out to their partner that they're not giving them enough sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit, I'm guilty of this.
Yeah.
You know, like, I remember when Mark was all depressed and we talked about it on this show, like, I was like, this isn't fair.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What about my playtime? What about all my fun, pleasure-giving activities? Like, you're not doing them anymore. And I had to learn how to figure out my own pleasure, mm-hmm. because it's not actually his responsibility. And that was, like, a real hard awakening for me and made me look at my relationships and all the times that I thought it was my responsibility to give my partners pleasure when I didn't feel like it.
Yeah.
You know? So when I ask, like, what have you done? That's usually the response. Mm-hmm. Well, I've told her she needs to do it more often. And okay. I'm like, so what are you doing so that she'll want to?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And what's changed since you stopped? So I just want to address this whole thing about being owed pleasure.
Yeah, no one is owed pleasure by someone else. It just straight up, right? When you're in a relationship with someone, you come to an agreement that you would like to both give each other pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Well, in most relationships.
In most relationships. But that agreement isn't binding and not on a schedule or time frame or anything.
Well, except for his birthday.
Yeah, or Valentine's Day.
So, like, we're rolling our eyes here, just for anybody really literal that's listening, mm-hmm. even on special occasions,
mm-hmm.
if you feel like your partner owes you sex, you are sexually coercing them. You're putting pressure on them to give you sex instead of have sex with you. It's supposed to be something you do together, not do to each other.
Yeah.
Ideally.
Ideally, yeah. I think...
Even with a pillow princess, you're still doing it together.
I think... part of it comes, right, and you're right, that's usually the most common problem. She doesn't want to have sex with me anymore, right? But it's one of those things, right, where if you're not a great communicator, and it's not actually a skill a lot of people have.
What? We don't teach this anymore? Or ever?
Ever, yeah.
No, I agree.
It's not a skill that a lot of us have, so you keep repeatedly having sex that isn't good. Mm-hmm. So all you can think about is the gross parts of sex, at least for me. I'm like, I'm going to have to shower because I hate the smell of other people on me, and my hair is going to be messed up, and I'm going to be all sweaty, and I'm not even getting an orgasm out
and
of this.
And then I got to wait half an hour if you're fluid bonded, like if you're not using condoms. I got to wait half an hour for it all to get out of me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he's not going to want to talk because he's going to pass out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like all these. Yeah.
So it's like... How many times does that happen before you just say, I don't want it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know?
I can't give you an answer because that tolerance level is different for different people.
Yeah.
But I know we fell into that rut
mm-hmm.
because sex turned into, hey, let's go play. And there was no play.
Yeah.
It's just like, here's a penis.
There it is.
And
yeah.
It's like, oh, well, you know? I never liked straight people sex for this reason, and I'd like to go back to having the not straight people sex that we were having. And if you missed that episode, you want to go back and listen to it because it's pretty funny. But yeah, they stop doing the things during intimacy that mm-hmm. make you want to have penetrative sex.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it goes both ways.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, this isn't directly tied to a genital stuff. Yeah. You know?
No?
No, I don't think so. I think it might be different because certain body parts are easier sometimes, depending on the person, to get off than others. But you think about it, right? And you want to put your best foot forward and you think this person's really hot and you want to please them and, you know, get it on, right? You might
relationship energy.
You might advertise things in your relationship that aren't actually going to be on the menu when you have a relationship.
Yeah, that comfortable shoe thing. Things change.
Yeah. So I do think it's not connected to a genital because, you know, you might give blowjobs or eat ass or whatever, be into anal in general, depending on what kind person. Of couple. Yeah. So you might do those things because you think that's what your partner wants, but then you're advertising something that you don't actually like doing. So it doesn't happen again. Or you
See,
get...
That's not me.
Well, I know, but...
So I'm like, what? People don't like those things? But yeah, no, I get what you mean. So a lot of people will put out more things than they're actually willing to keep on that menu, on the sex menu or the intimacy menu. And I think the same thing, though, with the foreplay is that, I mean, the amount of complaints I hear about do you wanna as foreplay. And it's like, no, why should I?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if I say yes, in a relationship, if I'm in a relationship with somebody with a penis, typically, if their warm-up is do you wanta, you know, and I say yes, that means they're just going to stick that in me somehow.
Yeah.
And that'll be it. And I'm not putting up with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes, like, if that's the game, right? Yeah. If we're doing the, oh, I'm your sex toy, then, like, that's great. But then you have to do the sex toy thing.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get to go, oh, you're my sex toy, and then masturbate with my vagina. Like, that's...
gross.
Yeah. I want more than that.
That's fair.
And I deserve more than that, and I give more than that. So, it's like, yeah.
I have this theory, but, like, it's not a scientific theory or whatever. I just think that there are a lot of people with penises that would prefer to be with people with penises, but that's been so denigrated in our society that they can't. Because you hear all of the time, all of these fucking people talking about how gross it is to go down on a girl, or like a smell, to go down on a person with a vulva, or like the smell, or whatever, right? Like, there's all of these complaints, how it's not manly, it's not this, it's not that, right? So if you have such revulsion to that part of the body, are you attracted to people that have that part of their body?
Yeah, not me. Like, if I feel that way, then not me.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's...
And it's been... I don't know. I can't bring up studies, so I don't know if this is true or not. So take that with a grain of salt.
that's your theory. Yeah. No, and I think, like, one, I have never had a problem going down on someone if they're clean.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes, like, somebody's done something and they're sweaty, or it's, like, the day before their period and they just have a little stronger odor, and it's like, hey, you know, let's have a shower first, right? Like, it's not hard to do.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's... But, yeah, I think if somebody came into my bed and they smelled that strongly, then I'm like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That would be it for sex. Because why aren't you clean?
Yeah, but yeah. I'm not talking about an odor that shouldn't be there. I'm just talking about the odor of the vulva in general.
Well, if you don't like the smell, then you shouldn't be playing with it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying a lot of people with penises do not like the smell of vulvas.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. Okay, I need to know, listeners, okay, 587-340-5899 to text, or you can email sextalk@aspecc.ca, that's aspec, aspecc.ca, and tell me, is this true? Do you not like the smell or taste of the genitals that you are most commonly interacting with? Because, like, that's wild to me. Huh. Wild.
Yeah.
You know? And by the way, there's dental dams that you can use for that. But I'm really stuck with that. It's like, are they men who should be exploring sex with other men?
Yes, maybe? This is what I'm saying. I think there are way more men who are not heterosexual that are in heterosexual relationships because of the way society was built. You think about men. You think about how many men have relationships with women outside of whatever person that they're fucking at the moment and their mom.
Hmm.
Right? Relationships aren't built with women. Relationships are built with other men. Who do people with penises and men that exist in this toxic culture look up to? They don't look up to women. They look up to other men. They're inspired by other men.
I know what we're talking about next week. We're going undercover, and we are going to take a look at some things and see what we can come up with. Because I think you might be onto something there. And I bet you there's research on that. So I just want a week to go and look at that. We are going to hit a break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit about some actual things you can do to make room for that kind of communication in a relationship, for being a better lover, mm-hmm. and for shifting the way you look at sex so that it does include the pleasure of everybody involved without it being ego-based.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about that a little bit, and hopefully that'll be fun. But you're listening to Sex Talk. We're talking about the orgasm gap and other things, because that's how we roll. And enjoy the tunes. This is a parody, so hopefully you enjoy it. Hey everybody, welcome back to Sex Talk. We are talking about the orgasm gap. And for those who don't know, this gap often occurs in heterosexual relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And although I have heard of there being orgasm gaps in men having sex with men relationships, or vulva-to-vulva relationships, it is more common in heterosexual relationships and negatively impacts people with a clitoris more than it does people with a penis. And that's just, you know, mm-hmm. history.
Yeah.
We did talk about communicating, and we talked about some of the roadblocks of communicating, too, although we did get a little derailed.
A little distracted, yeah, yeah.
But we're going to come back to that topic. That's pretty cool, too. We did get a little derailed there. But we were talking about how sometimes the whole, you know, you just need to communicate thing can backfire.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they're like, I'm not getting enough sex. And then they're like, well, it's because you don't do foreplay. And mm-hmm. then it just gets into this big schmozzle. So some tips that I would like to give you all. One, I loved what you said about communicating outside of the bedroom about what happens in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that you need to do, though, is create a space where your partner feels that they can tell you these things, or you can tell them those things without it being something that is weaponized, downplayed, etc. So do check out the Aspect website for our brochure on creating safer space in relationships, because it's pretty cool. But the long and short of that is you have to be able to hear things that are uncomfortable from a place of compassion for yourself and your partner. So, you know, you could be like, I know you'd be really good at this, so I'm just going to make something up. So you could be like, you know, I really don't feel like being intimate with you if you're in the next room farting as loud as you can right before you come in here. And the person needs to be able to go, I'm really glad you felt safe telling me that, right? I'll do better.
Yeah.
You know, and not play tit for tat.
We're not playing the blame game.
Yeah, it's not a blame game. It's about having great sex together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it's just, you know, it's your relationship, whatever that relationship is, however long-term that relationship is, whatever, right? However that looks for you. My suggestion would be talk about the uncomfortable shit and talk about an orgasm gap if it's there, right? But talk about it like a solution. Talk about it like moving forward in your relationship.
Because this isn't something where one person wins and one person loses.
Yeah.
This is about, so here's something I've noticed and I feel. How can we get from here to where we're both having a wicked fun time?
Yeah. Because nothing is gained or learnt by dwelling on the past, by saying, well, this time you didn't do this, and this time you didn't do that, right? Like, because if you love the person and you care about the person and you want to continue having sex with that person, it's about moving forward so everyone's getting a more pleasurable time. So your relationship can get stronger and more fun for everybody, right? It's not, if you look at it like blame, like something's been going wrong this whole time, like this whole thing that's just been unearthed, right? What you're really doing is you're breaking your relationship up.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
yeah. If we're gonna start throwing blame down instead of looking for solutions, you are just walking towards the end of the relationship. Like, yeah. Absolutely. I love the way that you just put that so bluntly. You're ending your relationship, so have fun with that. But if you do want to have great sex, the first thing after communicating is to recognize that we are sold the idea that sex is something that half the world does to the other half of the world.
Yeah.
And this is simply not true. If you're going to have mind-blowing sex, that is something that you do together, even if only one person is doing a physical action at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if, you know, you got a power dynamic where one person is, you know, a movable doll and the other person is the doer, that is still something you're doing together.
Mm-hmm.
It's an agreement you're making that includes activities that you agreed on, and pleasure for all parties needs to be brought in there, whatever that looks like for mm-hmm. you and the people you're having sex with, not the people that you are taking sex from.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a game.
No.
We're not keeping score, at least we shouldn't be, because great sex is about being curious about your partner mm-hmm. and being in the moment and giving a fuck, not because you want to feel good about, you know, the 10 orgasms you gave them in 10 minutes, but because that's part of shared intimacy.
Yeah.
Is getting to explore and see what works and talk to each other and do the things that feel good.
And I do want to just add that, like, an orgasm isn't necessary to have great sex every time. But
thank God. Because yeah. my body doesn't want to have those one after the other. Like, I'll hit days where it's like, I feel great, but my clitoris just goes, nah.
Yeah.
You're not having that.
So it's not all about the orgasm, but what really, when we talk about the orgasm gap, we're talking about the pleasure gap.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. And I think that is something that in relationships causes a lot of, like, people trying to keep mental score.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, well, I did the dishes, so she should want to have sex with me.
Yeah.
And she's like, I looked after the kids all day, so he should just be grateful that I did that. Mm-hmm. You know, and vice versa, because, like, I've heard women complaining that they want sex and he's not in the mood for it when he comes home. But it's like, you always have the option to give yourself pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
So reframing it to pleasure from an orgasm is actually quite lovely, because then you can look at, like, is it just an orgasm that you're looking for?
Right.
Because the person who is best suited to giving you an orgasm, if that's all you're looking for, is yourself.
Yeah.
And that's easy. I mean, man, I can do that in under a minute.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can do it while you're looking at me. You don't know. It's and sometimes we do. We just need that little release and whatever. And there is no shame in that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even ask your partner if they'd like to just provide that and nothing else. Mm-hmm. I'm stressed. I just want an orgasm. I don't want any mess and fuss. Like, are you interested? If not, I'll do it myself.
Yeah.
And like, and that's totally fine. But then you have to be fine with them saying no, right? Mm-hmm. And then recognizing that that is a completely different thing from having wicked naked time together.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's, the naked time is about play and pleasure, not just orgasms, right? Mm-hmm. It's about being together. It's about intimacy. So, yeah.
And I mean, I don't mean to be the harsh realist, but, you know, if you don't like the person you're having sex with, if you're not excited to see their body,
mm-hmm.
there might be a bigger problem than just an orgasm gap.
Yeah. And if that's the case, then there's bigger conversations that need to be had, yeah. right? And then for folks who, like, this might be the first time you've ever heard this, that it's not about your skills, it's not about finding the clitoris, it's not about how many orgasms you can give them so you can, like, get that little medal or whatever, and it's not something you do to your partner or get from your partner, but something you do together. If this is all new to you, or any part of that is new to you, setting a safe space for your partner is also going to mean doing your own research.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Go listen to some blogs. read a book. I mean, come as you are. You need to read this book if you're having sex with someone with a vulva or have a vulva yourself. You need to read it. I mean, mine's dog-eared now. I've read it so much. There's so much good information in there. Watch a tutorial. Like, there's... We have the internet now. You can literally get a tutorial for anything. Check out Oh My God Yes, OMG Yes. It is an incredible website with all kinds of technique tutorials. Up your game. Watch it with your partner or partners. You know what I mean? And experiment. Like, ooh, we learned a new technique today. Let's try it. Do you want to try it on your own first? Do you want to try it together? Like, these are, you know, there's books. There's, man, you can buy posters, I'm sure. Like, they, it doesn't matter what you, TikTok. Get onto sex ed TikTok. Do your own research. And I say that because we live in a society that is sex negative. And learning about pleasure and all that fun, sexy shit that you can do in the bedroom or the couch or the kitchen or, like, whatever, that's not part of the parcel that we're sold.
No.
Right? Like, that, no matter what your gender is. So that information hasn't been freely handed out. And if you're not looking for it, you're not going to find it on the internet either. So you have to actually go look for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I first, I'll be negative. Find better porn. Start watching better porn. That's all I'm going to say.
Start making better porn.
And start making better porn, please. Please. Yeah.
I don't want a Harlequin romance porn. That was like the worst shit I've ever watched.
Yeah. I just like watching people that are actually into each other have sex. The best. Yeah. So find better porn. But also just like give yourself a break. You know, we don't actually get a lot of time in this world to stop and reflect and think about ourselves. It's all about what we can produce, what we're doing for other people, all of that sort of fun stuff. So just like take a moment and remember that you are just a person.
Yeah.
And you are allowed to want and luxuriate in pleasure.
Absolutely.
You don't need to be doing something else. You don't need to be productive. You can just enjoy pleasure.
Yeah.
Because it is a part of the human experience.
Absolutely. And it is okay to plan a night where only one person is receiving and one person is doing.
Yeah.
But you need to make sure that that isn't negating the other person's pleasure, right? We don't want to coerce people into that. We don't want that to be the standard in our relationship, barring, you know, trauma or other things to make it hard for people to receive and like so forth. But like, pleasure can be in the feel of your partner's skin when you're rubbing their neck. Like, take the time to be in the moment. I mean, man, like, I like all kinds of wild stuff, but doesn't matter whether we're talking about getting face or using my own toys or getting spankings or, you know, flogging someone or whatever. It's when I am in the moment where their breath feels like my breath. That's when things are the most pleasurable.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm kinky and slutty. So, you know, and at this moment in time, not feeling it at all. But like, that's... doesn't matter what you're into.
Yeah.
You know, you're feeling really hungry. Like, I don't know, eat chocolate sauce off of them. Like, you can, like, share your experiences together. So that's pretty cool. So we have been talking about the orgasm gap ad nauseum. It really does exist. And I know that can be really hurtful for some people to hear. And if you start having these conversations with your partner, you might... here are some things you're not prepared for. So one, be prepared that they might have been faking.
Right.
And there's a multitude of reasons for faking orgasms. From, I mean, they just won't stop. They're so focused on my orgasm that it's no fun anymore. Like, lots of reasons. So instead of being upset about it, maybe asking them to think about why and what you guys can do together to make it safer for them to just say, hey, I'm not feeling it. Can you stop? And that's okay. Right?
I would add to that. I know, at least for my brain and lots of people's brains, once you talk about it, you think that it should be fixed. But it's a process. So like the next time you have sex might be not be and probably won't be this perfect. Huge, perfect, mind-blowing thing, right? But it's about the journey, you know? Yeah. And just... And
mediocre sex can still be really intimate sex as long as things are improving and getting better, right?
Yeah. Just relax. It's not a race.
Absolutely. And then finally, your partner might not want more sex.
Mm.
So if they're not wanting to have the sex and you guys are communicating and like you're learning things and whatever, it's okay if they don't want to have sex with you. I know that we're told that whoever you're in an intimate relationship with should just want to have sex with you whenever you want to, but they actually don't have to have sex with you ever. And there are people out there who are having amazing relationships that don't include sex.
Mm-hmm.
So no one owes you sex, ever. Not on your birthday, not if they're your wife, not on the honeymoon, not when you're on a cruise. Like, there is no... Mm-hmm. Even sex workers do not owe you sex.
Yes.
They're still allowed to say no, and they're still allowed to set boundaries. So,
yeah. Do you understand? Is everyone listening? Are we listening carefully? It does not matter what you buy, what you pay for, what you do.
Fuck, I can't do anything.
How nice.
That's true.
How nice you are that none of that has anything to do with whether or not you deserve sex, because you never deserve sex.
No. I mean, we might say that you do because we're, you know, trying to make you feel good, or you know, you've been extra special to us and now we're in the mood, but like, they don't actually owe you sex.
No.
And that means, conversely, you do not owe them sex. Mm-hmm. So even if they're doing all the things and you feel safe talking to them and they're up in their skills in bed and they think of sex as something that you do together and they're adventurous and all the ways you like, you still don't owe them sex. No is a complete answer.
Mm-hmm.
And that just has to be okay.
Yeah.
And then when you do that, when they say yes, you know they really mean it.
Exactly.
Yeah, so there's your lecture from Angel and
Veronica.
Sex talk. Next week, we're going to be talking about the way that society urges us to be straight without us even being aware of it, and mm-hmm. some of the problems that might cause in society. I know this because we kind of nipped that conversation in the bud today. So we'll see you next week. If you want to donate, feel free to hit us up, buy us a coffee. We got PayPal donate links on the website, and you can also do it through Square. Check us out at aspecc.ca. You've been listening to Sex Talk.
Bye, everybody.